Well, welcome to worship, everyone. It's a great day. The sun is shining and our Lord is a living Lord. And we gather in this place. We have the privilege to worship in freedom. We have the privilege for 1 hour to look up and say, thank you, God. Thank you for life. Thank you for my blessings. Thank you for being a friend in my life. We have that privilege this morning. So whatever's on your heart, whatever you brought that's sort of weighing you down, let it go. Let the Lord take it from you and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you in this next hour. That's why we do this. That's why we are here, because we know as the people of God that we have a Lord who cares for us, who bears our burdens for us, who calls us to worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for this wonderful time, this hour in our day when we can look up, when we can be refreshed in our spirits, when we can learn more about you, and when we can be truly responding to you with gratitude and praise. Thank you, Lord, this morning that Suksha will be giving us the message. I pray you'd bless her. I pray you'd bless the houseboat testimonies and the videos. Thank you so much for that marvelous week that we're going to hear about. Thank you that today's Father's Day, and thank you for being our Father in heaven, and thank you for all the fathers here. We just ask that you'd bless our time now, and that you would come, Lord Jesus, inspire our hearts to sing your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Please be in prayer for Morgan, who had open heart surgery on Friday, and the Morgan family, rather. Lord God, thank you so much for this church, and thank you for your presence in our midst. And we're touched and blessed by the youth that went on houseboats. What a fun video that was, and what a wonderful time to build community together. We are thankful for all of the youth leaders who went on that, and we just pray that you continue to strengthen them. And thank you so much for the youth who testified. We are grateful, as Joe said, for transformation, and we thank you that you're a God who changes lives. And even after we come to you, you continue to change us, and we're so glad that we are all in the process of becoming more like you, Jesus. And just be with all the youth who may have rededicated their lives to you or come to you or heard about you for the first time. Help that seed that was sown at houseboats to grow deep roots and be strong and flourish. May their faith and their love for you extend out throughout all their lives. We pray for Vacation Bible School coming up this next week. We ask that you would bless all the children who are on campus. We pray for enough help, Lord. We ask that you'd strengthen Sarah. We pray that children would come to you. And again, Lord, plant that seed deep in their hearts so that in their young lives they can experience you and know your love. And so often, as children, we come to you, we may wander away, but that initial awareness of your presence is real and strong, and it draws us back again and again. Thank you. Bless this week, and keep all safe and all happy and well. With Bill, we thank you that Brandon is here for Father's Day, and we help the Pierces to have a wonderful time with him, Lord. And I thank you for all the fathers and grandfathers represented here today. Thank you for creating the family and how much fathers mean and all of their gifts that they give to us. And we are grateful for that, Lord. And we pray that you would encourage all of the fathers here today, help them to know how much their contribution to family life means. It's hard to stay consistent. It's hard to stay faithful. And those that do reap a great harvest. So just thank you for Father's Day, and thank you for all the fathers here today, and bless them with a special measure of your Holy Spirit. With Anna, we thank you for Oliver, who is born, who's 1 month old, Lord, and we thank you that he's cute, and we thank you that you are with Anna and her whole family as they celebrate his birth, and just be with him, Lord, and put your hand upon him, and may he be your person all the days of his life. We're blessed to have Joshua and Jessica with us this morning. Thank you that they can visit us, and just we're thrilled that they can worship with us and be with them and bless them as they think about their future and where they're going and what you have in store. Lord, I just pray that you'd guide their every step. With Pamela, we pray for Kenny, her son, her oldest son, who's going to Africa for 5 weeks to volunteer. Lord, make yourself real to him more than ever before. Lord, thank you for his heart that he wants to volunteer there for 5 weeks. Help that to be a wonderful experience, and just keep him safe and bring him back here fulfilled in that amazing experience that he will have there. With Stacy, we pray for the teachers at West Valley who are going to be displaced and who are sad and having a hard time dealing with that. Lord, I pray you'd prepare a way for each one of them. So often in the dark places of our lives, you open up new opportunities. And so often when we're in despair, you say, wait. When change happens, new life emerges. So I pray for each one of them. You know their names. You know who they are. You know their life stories. I pray that you would prepare a special place for them to go, where they would feel valued and needed and wanted, and where they can work in an environment that is uplifting and good. Lord, with Matt, we continue to pray for Amber that she would be healed and whole. I pray for the right opening at Teen Challenge, that she can be in a situation where she can know your people. And also for her, Lord, we pray for transformation. We also pray for Sterling Swanson, who is not been able to join us very much here because of his health issues, and we just ask for healing for him. We pray also that for Carol McCune, that for both of these dear saints, that you would touch them, and may they know they know your presence. As so often they're at home alone. Pray for their caregivers too. Pray for the whole family, that you would surround them with your love. We thank you with Janet for her father being able to celebrate Father's Day with their family today at 94. As we age, Lord, we need family even more. And we just pray that this would be a joyful time for all of them as they celebrate her dad. And with Steve Wetlison, we do pray for those victims and families of the Charleston shooting. Lord, we pray that racism would be gone from our country. We ask for comfort for the families in mourning. Oh, Lord, we don't understand why these things happen. It appalls us and it makes us angry. But, oh, Lord, we know that you work out your purposes in and through history despite all of the wrongs, all of the evils of this world. And we trust you, Lord, in this time that you will indeed bring justice, bring compassion, bring mercy, and, Lord, that you would heal the wounds of those who have been hurt. Thank you that you are in charge of our church. We pray for the future of West Valley. We just ask that you continue to bless it and pour out your spirit here. May we all work together to further the gospel and share your good news with a world that is in so much need of it. And now as you taught us, Lord, we pray together saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
This morning's scripture reading is from Romans 6, 1 through 11. This is a Common English Bible translation. So, what are we going to say? Should we continue sinning so grace will multiply? Absolutely not. All of us died to sin. How can we still live in it? Or don't you know that all who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried together with him through baptism into his death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too can walk in newness of life. If we were united together in death like his, we will also be united together in a resurrection like his. This is what we know. The person we used to be was crucified with him in order to get rid of the corpse that has been controlled by sin, That way we wouldn't be slaves to sin anymore, because a person who has died has been freed from sin's power. But if we died with Christ, we have faith that we will also live with him. We know that Christ has been raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has power over him. He died to sin once and for all with his death, but he... Sorry. My iPhone acted strangely. So once and for all with his death, but he lives for God with us, his life. In the same way, you also should consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive for God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, touch my unholy lips to speak your holy words. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for allowing us to call you Abba Father. Father, open the hearers' hearts so that they can be touched your message. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to tell you two stories to contrast the real identity change versus pseudo-identity change. You know, Korea, the whole country is obsessed with plastic surgery. One out of three women undergo plastic surgery, even men. Last March, issue of the New Yorker talks about plastic surgery in Korea. New Yorker calls that title, Korea, the world's capital of plastic surgery. A few years back, there was an article in New York Times about Miss Korea beauty pageant. Almost every participant looked alike because of plastic surgery. So the jury had a hard time to decide the winner. So does plastic surgery really change who you are? By contrast, I'm going to tell you the story of a man by the name of Jack Newman. He was traveling alone, aboard for a passenger train bound for New Orleans, when the train suddenly encountered a severe thunderstorm. He was seated by the window in the main dining car when the bolt of lightning came through the window and struck him, jolted him against the other side of the car. Though badly burned in his face and chest, miraculously, he was not killed. When the attendants of the train rushed to help him onto a stretcher, began to tend to his burns, they asked him questions. Sir, what's your name? Where are you going? Jack just stared at them as if in shock and finally said, I don't know, to both questions. He reached for his wallet in his pocket to find he didn't have one, and he didn't have any identification on him whatsoever. The substantial amount of voltage that went through him had given him a severe case of amnesia. He had no luggage, no bag, only $63 in his pocket, no idea where he got it from. So when the train finally pulled into New Orleans, he was placed into a local Christian-run clinic. The man who ran the clinic was the pastor of a church nearby. Upon hearing this unfortunate story, was very sympathetic to Jack's situation, and he and his family befriended the stranger. So they took care of him. After all his burns were treated and he was finally out of the woods, they began to help him to search for his identity. But because of the severity of his burns and the overwhelming lack of clues, they came up nothing. After the 8-month search, they gave up on search. With no hope of finding his past, he had to start his life all over again. In the meantime, he remained close to the pastor and his family. So when it came time to choose his new name, he assumed the pastor's last name, Newman, and chose Jack for his first name. He soon was baptized and joined the church. He got a job of building houses and helped out frequently the clinic on weekends and nights. Many years went by. He was married to a local girl and started having his own family right here in New Orleans. After the second child, he was called into the ministry and became a pastor himself. 15 years went by. He came home to find two out-of-state police cars in front of his house. Fearing for the security of his wife and children, he rushed to see what was wrong, only to be arrested. When he asked why, they told him it is the murder of two police officers in the bank robbery that he perpetrated in 1968, after which he escaped by way of train. Of course, when this was told, though he was very upset, he still could not remember. He was taken back to Little Rock, Arkansas, to await trial. The news of Jack, now a pillar of the community, spread throughout New Orleans like wildfire. Countless prayers were being offered on his behalf. When the trial finally came, he stood to hear the verdict of the jury. This is what they said. We, the jury, find the defendant, Stanley Reed Calhoun, that is Jack's real name, innocent of the charge of two counts of murder by reason of his demise. As far as we are concerned, this is not the same man who gunned down two police officers in the bank robbery. We have concluded by weighing up much testimony that Stanley Reed Calhoun died on the train 15 years ago. This man, Jack Newman, is indeed a new man and therefore innocent of all charges. This is a powerful story to depict what it means to walk in newness of life, reflecting Paul's message in Romans 6, 3 and 4, and that is the centerpiece of today's message. Before exploring what it means to die, I think it's critical to understand what sin means in our culture. Let's face it, we all don't like to talk about sin and continuously misunderstand it. We mostly paint sin as gross misdeed, like adultery, murder, embezzlement, genocide, etc. Sin is a really an easy word to talk about without ever saying the word itself. There are many words to express what sin, the idea of sin, for example, failure, being broken, flawed, trespassing, and hurting others, wrongdoing, evil, living your life only for yourself or going your own way. Sin is the word that is used to describe wrongdoing in all its forms, big or small, individual or corporate, consciously conceived or unconsciously lived out. To give you a more concrete idea, I'm going to share my story with sin. I used to work really hard to build a skill set that I need to architect my identity. Self-defenses, white lies, subtle way of manipulating others to get my own interests, being passive-aggressive, and deflecting issues by asking questions, what, why, where, why, how, when, were some of my skills. I thought I had been very successful to build a wall around me to hide who I really was. You know what? It didn't work out for me. Because at the deepest core of myself, I was craving for the relationship with who of God, with who of me. So C.S. Lewis articulates sin in his book, The Screwtape Letters. The master devil Screwtape teaches his nephew, novice devil Wormwood, how to make people sin. This is what he says. Indeed, the surest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope. Soft underfoot, no sudden turns, no milestones, no signposts. You see how sin can creep into our lives? Paul tells us in verses 3 and 4 the steps to quest the newness of life. He said, we must die. How we die? I'm going to tell you 5 ways that we must die. First, we must die to the dominion of sin. Charles G. Finney, who was a Presbyterian minister and a leader in the Second Awakening movement in the 19th century in America, says that death to sin is the opposite of death in sin, implying we die to a will opposed to God's will and self-indulgent state of mind. Like Jack Newman, who was freed by reason of demise, we have to have our own demise to start a brand new life. One of the most tried and true method of Satan to get us is, first he tempts us to a sin. Then she or he sins, then thrusts us into depression. The evil inclination gets us to sin and make us feel so bad about our sin that we can never repair the damage we have done. The ultimate goal of the evil inclination is to distance us from God. At least make us believe that God has cast us off. But God says he will never forget us, even if a woman forgets her nursing child or show no compassion on the child of her womb, as in Isaiah 49:15. So secondly, we must die to our old self. Like Jack Newman was from bank robber to a pastor. 2 Timothy 3, verses 2 and 4 illustrates what constitutes our old self. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, arrogant, abusive, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, slanderous, so on. Thirdly, we have to die to the pursuits and aims of the desire of the flesh and the desire of the eyes and the pride in riches, as in 1 John 2:16. Letting go of the world is what Jesus said, we live in the world, but not of the world. Fourthly, we must die to the subjection of the body, all its appetites and proclivities for pleasure and lust must be brought to the subjection of God's will. Lastly, we must die to anxiety, anger, insecurity, fear, shame, and so on. Second step, Paul explains we ought to bury it with Jesus Christ. The burial has two functions. The burial is the seal of death. It is a certificate for death. And second, burial is a display of death. It implies the believer's open confession of sin, confession of death to sin to everybody. When you go to the cemetery, you know all these barriers. That's what it means. We are dead to our old selves. We have to realize, in order to be successful in new life, we have to keep distance from certain places, certain situations, and people who are likely to revive our old man of sin. I'm going to give you an example. If an alcoholic who are trying to break his or her addiction to alcohol, would he or she continue to go to bar and hang out with the same drunken buddy and being so naive to think he will only order a Coke? So, we have to keep distance from our old behaviors. Okay, now, so far I've talked about how to die. Let's switch the gear to a lively side. Let's see what it means to live. Paul says, dying to sin is not enough, merely because in and of itself, that is impossible. We must be united with Jesus Christ. So Paul specifies the seal of solidarity with Jesus Christ in four ways: co-buried, co-planted, co-crucified, and co-exist in light of sin. So the Jesus reality becomes our reality by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling Spirit replaces our old self with a new identity, and the renewing work of the Holy Spirit transforms us. We no longer act out of self-promoting motive, but out of self-giving love. The only way to crucify and keep it dead is the total surrender of ourselves to the Holy Spirit in all areas of our life and at all times. We The 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, we are clay jars that have the treasure. We, the clay jars, must be shattered to have the treasure work in us. Remember, we are fragile clay jars, not durable Rubbermaid containers. So, to be raised, what does it mean to be raised with Christ in baptism? The resurrection is a special work on Jesus from the dead by the glory of God. It is the victory over death and sting. In 1 Corinthians 55-56, Paul says, where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. We conquered the death and the sting of death. We are raised to our new identity. Our life is not the life of the first creation, but of a new creation among the dead, as in 2 Corinthians 5:17. So new creation entails holiness, righteousness, and joy through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because God has liberated us from the power of the sin, we must transfer our allegiance to Jesus Christ, who sets us free. Living with Jesus Christ not only means freedom from sin, but also to be full of life to serve God by serving others, especially the marginalized, the poor, and the oppressed. We need to make our whole being a perfect offering to God on a daily basis, as in Romans 12:1-2. And we are, our life manifests the presence of a living God. And we are able to fulfill all that we were intended to be when God created us. We are able to embrace the differentness and the otherness of other people instead of complaining. That's what we ought to do. So if God has given to you and to me an entirely new life in Christ, how shall the new life spend itself after the fashion of old life? How shall the spiritual live as the carnal? How can you, who were slaves of sin, have been made free by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, go back to old slavery? I want to conclude my sermon by inviting you to prayerfully examine and identify your sin in order to die to sin rather than to die in sin. As I said, sin has many forms and many names. Don't play around it. You label it for what it is and turn from it. Flee from it like Lot. We have to get away from sin. Secondly, where does your identity lie? Did you die to your old self as a sinner and has risen to a new identity as a child of God? Our old self has been crucified to the cross and buried with Jesus, and through the resurrection, we have come alive to a new identity, like Jack. By his demise, he became a new person. Are you a new creation? And the renewing work of the Holy Spirit is not just merely spiritual. It must be translated into praxis. Purification of the flesh and renewing of your heart and reorientation of your hopes and desires enable us to love God, and this love of God must be a love of your neighbors. Okay, so Jesus tells people to deny themselves and take their own cross, to follow him. Jesus never promises it's an easy journey. The grace is not a license to live freely, but it's a license to self-control, to be Christ-like. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Let me close with a prayer. Father God, I spoke your words. Just work in their hearts, in their minds. Empower them. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to change their lives so then we can edify your body. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Go in the peace and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. May he bless you with a sense of his presence. May you be filled with the Holy Spirit and know what living for Christ and following him is all about this week. In Jesus' name, go out in peace.